for here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as your great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. And you will find and feel my presence even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you. For you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. The fullness, the completeness of my salvation.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. That's calling people to the fullness.
Fullness.
Uh-huh. Not just a little trickle, man.
No,
just a little trickle or just a little. No, we want people to come into the fullness.
He's told me so many times when I just, you know, you're tired of waiting and straining. And he said, are you willing to settle for that? So many times I'm going, okay, no, I'll just wait for the you're better. But he'll let you settle for whatever you want to. He's not a bully.
He knows.
All right. That's good to know.
He has to strive to enter his rest.
Yes. Glory. Yes.
To strive to enter his rest. His rest, right. We got all of it. Mm-hmm. We don't have to. You know, how many buildings did the Israelites build while they were out in the wilderness?
Only a tent.
They didn't build any buildings, did they? They didn't work any stone. They didn't have bricks, right? They didn't have straw to build bricks and they build buildings. Not that. They were resting.
Yeah.
I could get up in the morning, go get the food, and that was it.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. But you got to believe God.
Yeah.
Gotta believe God. Sing us a good song.
That's cute. Yeah,
it's a beautiful day. All right.
The name of this song is called Awakening, and it's like we need to wake up, realize who we are in Christ, and start grabbing people left and right and just being bold about God's business, okay? And so this is kind of like a song about awakening, okay? Because I could have gotten started preaching just then, but I calmed down. Okay. So if you were to raise your hands and just surrender to God, that's awesome. Glory to God. In our hearts, Lord, in this nation, awakening. Holy Spirit, we desire awakening. For you and you alone, awake my soul, awake my soul and sing. For the world you love, your will be done,
yes.
And your will be done in me.
Jesus.
In your presence,
yes.
In your power, awaken me.
Jesus.
For this moment, for this hour. Lord in this nation. Awaken us. Holy are you, Lord, worthy to be praised. We welcome you into this house today. Lord, fill us with your word on our precious saints, our gifts. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Worthy, worthy, worthy.
Somebody's got their soul awakened. Is that right?
I just got to hold my leg.
Yes. Somebody's got their soul awakened. Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he? You know? And often, you know, when we got all kinds of problems and we're not seeing God working and all that, it's us that needs to wake up. Not him. He's always there. He's always the same, right? We just need to wake ourselves up. It's not getting him to come down to us. It's just us to wake up and see him. He's here, right? He's right here. If we got the Holy Spirit of God, he's right here, right?
Amen.
He's called on us to go around and rescue other people.
Amen.
So often we look to him, rescue us, Lord. He says, you go rescue other people. I give you the power, you go rescue other people. Amen? Amen. All right.
Amen.
Well, we're going to do something a little bit different. I want to, you know, move into something that... I tell you the truth, I'm excited about it because I don't think I've ever seen it done. But what I wanted us to do, since we got Easter coming up next month, is take these Sundays and go through the week of Jesus' life.
Oh, praise God.
All right?
Wow.
So we just want to see if we can get everything kind of in order as it happened, so we can get a kind of good handle on, well, what happened that week, you know, because I've heard sermons preached on every topic, but I've never seen them all put together, you know, in the order that it happened, sort of thing. So let's do that today. Let's turn to Mark 7. We're going to do it in Mark because, to tell you the truth, he's the shortest. We don't have a whole lot of time. But we will stop along the way and we'll point out some things that we want to learn from this. But I want you to get an idea of what happened that week, you know. Now, we know that... Jesus had told his disciples on the way to Jerusalem, he says, this is what's going to happen to me. You know, I'm going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. The Pharisees, the elders are going to get me. And I'm going to be crucified. And then I'm going to be raised again. And they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They didn't understand what he's talking about. You know? So, anyway, Jesus comes to Jerusalem. And for the most part, he's kind of a heavy heart because he knows he's going to his death. You know, he's going to a tough time. But they get there a week early. Remember, it's that great feast. This is the Days of Unleavened Bread, right? So they get there on
on a Saturday or Sunday, I forget which one it is, and they have the triumphal entry, okay? So someone's got Mark 11. Read, if you would. Oh, let's see. Read the first 10 verses. Someone's got that.
10 verses?
10 verses, 1 through 10.
Okay. Mark 11.
Mark 11.
And when they had came now to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent for two of his disciples, and said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sit. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord has need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye? Loosen the colt. And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So here's Jesus coming to Jerusalem in a way he has never come before.
Mm-hmm.
Always before he walked in. Okay? But this time was special.
Mm-hmm.
This time he rode in.
Amen.
Because he wanted to fulfill that prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, here comes your king, lowly and humble, riding on a donkey. A colt of a donkey. All right? So he wanted to fulfill that prophecy. And to show, he wasn't coming in with an iron rod this time. He was coming in lowly and meek.
Yeah.
All right? Now, the disciples were probably the only ones that realized the miracle that was taking place as he was riding in. Y'all know the miracle that was taking place as he was riding in? We just think, well, he got on a donkey and rode into town, right? No. What did he get on? A donkey that
had never been ridden.
Candace did. Candace, what's it like to get on a horse that's never been ridden?
We gotta find the ground real quick.
Okay. All right. But now, Candace, you've ridden horses in parades, haven't you?
Yes.
And everybody's shouting, yelling, there's music, there's stuff going on, right? Is it difficult to...
You have
to train that horse so that he doesn't get all upset when he goes through a parade, right? Does it take a while to train him that way?
Stuff, that's right.
Yeah.
Skittish, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are skittish. I would be too. Don't throw stuff at me.
Yeah. Now, would it be wise, Candace, to jump on a horse that's never been ridden and try to ride him in a parade?
No.
No, it would not be wise to do that, would it? That horse would take off doing all kinds of things, wouldn't he? But now, get this. People were taking branches and throwing them down in front of the horse. Or, excuse me, not the horse, the donkey. They were taking the garments and throwing down. They were in front of, they were behind. They were everywhere. They were shouting, raising their hands up. And this donkey has never been ridden before. And suddenly he's got somebody on his back. And he's in the middle of all this. You know how you get an animal to go where you want it to go? You go out and shout at it, wave your arms, you know, and that's how you, herd cows, herd anything, cows and pigs and goats and whatever, you just shout at them and wave your arms, right? Mm-hmm. Just carry them where you want them to go. That's what was going on. And he just rode in. And that was a miracle, folks. Candace will tell you what kind of miracle that is, right? That was a miracle. And those disciples knew that. So anyway, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The next part is Jesus curses the fig tree. And let's see, who can read that for me? Let's read 11 through 14. All right, go ahead and read that.
Jesus rode through the gates of Jerusalem and up to the temple. After looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12 to spend the night, for it was already late in the day. The next day as he left Bethany, Jesus was feeling hungry. He noticed a leafy fig tree in the distance, so he walked over to see if there was any fruit on it, but there was none. Only leaves, for it wasn't yet the season for bearing figs. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, saying, "No one will ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples overheard him.
Okay, so Jesus comes in. He's thirsty. Sees a fig tree, got all the leaves. Ought to have figs on it, right? Goes over to get some. No figs. So he curses the fig tree. No one's going to eat fruit off of you again. Whoa.
You big fat liar.
Whoa. So now, Jesus, they go on in, all right? And the next part is where Jesus cleanses the temple, drives out the money changers. We're not going to read all that, okay? Because we want to continue the story of the fig tree, all right? So we're going to jump down. He goes to the temple. He cleanses the temple. They leave the temple. He goes back to Bethany. Next morning, he gets up and he's coming in. All right, so we're going to skip down past the cleansing the temple part, but y'all know that's what happened on that day, okay? So, let's see. David, you want to read here verse 20 and read through 25.
And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter calling to remembrance said to him, "Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedest is withered away." And Jesus answering saith unto them, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses."
Okay. So they're going back in the next day. And they happen to go in that same gate, all right, that goes out to Bethany's about 2 miles away, by the way. So they just had a short walk to go into Jerusalem. So they're going into the gate, and they're going that same way, and they see that same fig tree. They had passed, all right? And the disciples look at it, and they said, "This thing's all withered up. This thing is all withered up.
From the root."
Yeah, they looked at it, and nobody had taken an axe to it, right? Mm-hmm. That thing died just because what?
Jesus spoke to it,
mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, that was pretty amazing, but that's Jesus, right? That's Jesus. Jesus can speak to things and it just bam, just like that, right? That'll happen. But now, look what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. He said, "Have faith in God." Then he says something that ought to really make your skin crawl, right? What does he say here? He says, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, uh-huh, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass." What does it say? That last little phrase you read.
Shall have.
Shall have. Shall I have what?
Whatever you say.
You say that again louder. I can't get it now.
Shall have what he says.
Shall have whatever what?
He says.
Good or bad?
Shall have whatever he chops down with an axe. Is that right?
Good or bad?
That's right.
Shall have whatever he
says.
Now, that ought to make your skin crawl. That ought to make the hair on the back of your neck go up, you know? Jesus said, you can have whatever you say in faith. In faith. In faith. If you say it and you don't believe it, you're wasting your words.
Right?
But he said, whatever. You can move a mountain, not just a tree. You can move a mountain.
And your thoughts, too, whatever you think. You know, it's like, as a man think of so as he is, I thought of that, too. Like, your thoughts, what you say, it all.
Yeah. As a man think it, so is he. He. But if you want to affect something outside you, you need to speak. Mm-hmm. You need to speak those words in faith. Mm-hmm. Speak those words in faith. Don't doubt. Okay? Don't doubt. Don't vary. Well, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. Speak it in faith. Let me read that from James. You know? Don't be like a wave tossed back and forth. Ship tossed by the wind. Yeah.
I had shoulder surgery once. My best friend is a minister. And the doctor said, if you don't go to physical therapy, you'll never gain 100% use of that arm. And I came home and I was saying that to her. And she said, that's the doctor's report. She said, but you don't have to repeat it until you believe it. She said, you start confessing by stripes. And I didn't go to physical therapy. I got 100% restoration of the strength and the flexibility in that arm. But we need to immediately stop our friends and family if they're saying things that they've just said for years, not realizing what they're doing. It's up to us to be like the two that held up Moses' arms until the battle was done. Let's, you know, be that support for each other. It's just things we say without realizing it, you know?
We can try, we can attempt, we can do great things for God.
Yes.
If we'll just listen to what he says and do it. Listen to what Jesus says and do it. Right? Right? Yeah. 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 I don't know of any fig trees around. I'm not big, too big on figs anyway, but I don't know of any fig trees around I want to kill. But I got some mountains I'd like to have moved. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just spiritual mountains, although I got plenty of those. Mm-hmm. I'm about physical mountains too, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus said, this mountain. He didn't say, he wasn't talking spiritually now, was he? Mm-hmm. He was talking about a fig tree. Mm-hmm. They go up there and touch it.
Yeah.
It was physical fig tree. They were standing, physical mountain. Mm-hmm. They were standing before Mount Zion, mm-hmm. right? All these big mountains around. The mountain that the temple was set on. This mountain. If you got faith, you can speak it.
Thank you.
If you got faith, speak it. It'll be done.
Yes,
sir.
That was a huge mountain in Hoover. Tractors came over there and tore it down, and now there's a dealership on it. Somebody bought that, and they bought that land.
Yes, because a big old mountain don't have a dealership on it.
Then, exactly. A mountain doesn't have, but there's a really nice little dealership there.
Well, you know, you can do it without a tractor.
Yeah,
you can do it without a bulldozer. You can do it without a crane. Right? Jesus said you can do it. He says the truth. It must be true.
Amen.
We just need to believe it. Boy, if I could just believe all that I know. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, yeah.
If I could just believe all that I know, that would be wonderful. All right. Father, we thank you so much for loving us and giving us the victory already. The power is within our grasp, Father. You've already told us that. We got the power, Father. We don't need to ask for the power to come down. The power is already here. We just need to waken our soul up to use it. Yes, awaken our soul. Wake up, soul. Get into the Word, believe the Word, and speak the Word of God. Thank you for that, Father. Father, bless this food. Bless our time of fellowship. Bless the Word as it is preached today. And give our elected leaders wisdom to make wise choices, Father. We pray these things for your glory in the name of your Son. Amen.
Amen.